Praise God. 1 Thessalonians 5, 4 and 5. We're going to continue a discussion of light. We've been on this for a little while. We'll continue this morning with that. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 4. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. And what Paul is doing here, he's separating between the world, which is in darkness, and the contractual family of God, which is the church, which is in light. Children of darkness, children of light. And he said, we are not of the day, we are not of the night, but we are of the day. We are children of light. God bless you. If you love his word, as you're seated, let's give him praise and thanks for his word that is forever settled in the heavens. Thank you, mighty God. We praise you for the privilege of handling your word today. We thank you, God, for all of your goodness and mercies to us. God, let your word be open to us in this house. Praise God. We appreciate Sister Shirley Best. She's coordinating our elders team activity. And this morning, they're passing out hams to our elders. And so if there's some going back and forth, I don't know. I think they pretty much got it knocked out already before service. But it may be that we need some volunteers to deliver some after. Is that the case, Sister Shirley? Okay, so if you're available to deliver a ham to an elder here in the next day or two, see Sister Shirley right after service, and she will line you up with a ham, and we will interview the elder to make sure the ham was actually delivered. Because they're very good hams, and I don't know how the flesh is, you know. So we've been talking about light, and God is light, and God dwells in unapproachable light, and God is the Father of lights who is above. And this theme of light from the creation, the very first thing that takes place is the utterance of God, the Spirit of God moving, and then light. It's like God turns on the light to do the work. And out of that comes an explosion of potential, actualized potential, and life. And it is the same in our lives today. Life precedes light. Light is emanating from a source the scripture calls life. And we could chain this with just natural sunlight. Everything on the earth depends on sunlight for life. But light is a medium for life. It is the medium by which God energizes the earth and energizes us. But there is a greater light, which is a spiritual light that we'll be talking about a little bit today. How does light come to us? In John chapter 1, the subject of the first chapter of John is the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And so it's the identity of God as he is manifest in the earth. But listen to the language of John chapter 1. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. This is just like the creation story. The Spirit of God moves. The Word of God goes forth, and light comes on. And light comes to us by the Word of God. Now, if you're listening to Terrell and Deborah this morning, they're talking to you about something that has happened in their life. This is a testimony, a real live testimony of people who do not have a model of functional families and a model of happy homes and solid relationships. And now something has happened. The Word of God has been opened to them, and light has sprung forth out of that Word of God. And as it came to them, it charged them with knowledge and understanding and life itself. You are living what Jesus was talking about when he said, I came that you might have life and that more abundantly. And as you walk in the light that God has given you, there is an abundance that God has for you. And this walk is good or better than, surely better than it would have been without the things of God. And the payoff is not till we get over on the other side. So this is just the down payment. Paul calls it the earnest of our inheritance. This is what we're, if you like this, this is just 10% down. If you're enjoying the Holy Ghost, this is just the down payment. If you like what God has brought you out of and brought you into, this is just getting started. The payoff is on the other side. Praise God. So 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. When light comes to us by the word of God, it displaces the darkness that is in us. The darkness, old ideas, old imaginations, old constructs, old cultural framing that tends to lead us in a certain way to an inevitable outcome. But here we are, now we're changed, and now we're moving toward a different outcome than we would have. I would have wound up in hell. My wife was saying we don't even want to think about where we would have been. We were well on our way to destruction, but God. We were well on our way to an eternity of trouble, but God. So light comes by the word of God and displaces darkness in our hearts. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed. When the word of God comes to you, you need to pay attention to it. As unto a light that shineth in a dark place. It's like I see it in the distance here. I'm living in darkness, but I see a light, and I'm going to be attracted to that light. John 3 said that people that do truth come to the light. If you've got a heart that wants to do the right thing, you're going to come to the light. If you're enjoying doing the wrong thing, you're going to avoid the light. That's the condemnation of the world. So you are drawn as a light that shines in a dark place. And listen to what Peter says. Until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. He says there's going to come a time when it comes within you. It's not just an external illumination, but now it's going to happen inside of you. And the kingdom of God is in you. The kingdom of God is designed to fit your mortal frame. The kingdom of God was made to be invested in you by the hand of God, the word of God in you, the kingdom of God in you, the spirit of God in you. And these are not just ideas. These are real, actual, real-time experiences that will turn your world right side up. Praise God. Revelation 22 and 16. And Peter said it was a day star that was going to rise in your heart. Here Jesus is speaking to John and says, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Turn to your neighbor and tell him Jesus is the bright and morning star. Praise God. This is the star that Peter was talking about, and it is the indication of the dawning of day. The expression the morning star is probably the expression concerning one of the planets that's on the horizon, and you see that and you understand that day is about to emerge into the darkness. And Jesus is the morning star. So he's like light in a dark place. He's like a day star, Peter said. As we're working through the themes and the feelings and all the trappings of this Christmas season, the Christmas star was a prophetic fulfillment, and it is a demonstration of light and how God calls and how we make our way to him. To Israel, Isaiah says in chapter 60, verse 1, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light. And all the Gentiles said, amen. And kings to the brightness of thy rising. This is prophecy here. He said God's going to shine his light even though the world's in rank darkness. God's going to shine his light and the Gentiles are going to come. He's a Jewish prophet talking to a Jewish nation. But he said it's not just for us. The whole world is invited to this party that God is having at his house. And he says also kings are going to come to the brightness of thy rising. Praise God. So our world, we shouldn't have to interview you today to know that that you already are aware that the world is in darkness. The world is in trouble. We have thousands of people in the streets chanting and saying, "What do we want? Dead cops. When do we want it? Now." And they're calling insurrectionists and race baiters like Al Sharpton to the White House. And if I'm stepping into a circle where you're uncomfortable with me being, you just need to shake yourself a little bit, because I want you to know this is not about politics and it's not about race. This is about people stepping up and doing what God has said and obeying the word of God. I just use that to tell you our world is in darkness. Our world, they broke into a school in Pakistan this week and killed 130-something children just to make the Pakistani government feel pain. Our world is diseased, and the disease is not political. It's not governmental. It's spiritual. It's the disease of sin, and the cloud of sin is upon every heart. And unless you walk in the light of God, you don't have any hope of breaking free. But as Isaiah told Israel right here, he said, "The world may be darkness, but I can shine my light where you are, and I can light up your life." Praise God. So God comes to us in the midst of the darkness that's in our hearts, the darkness that's in our minds, generational darkness, cultural darkness, darkness of habituated things in our life. He comes to us like a star against a black sky. He's high and he's lifted up, and he's something that we can navigate by and find our way to the things of God. Numbers chapter 24 and verse 17. This is not just a Christmas story without prophetic root. Paul says, and Peter says, and Jesus says, and now in the law of Moses, "I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel." He said there's going to be a star involved in this, and the scepter of government and power is going to be in the hand of Judah and Jacob and Israel. Praise God. This is the prophetic underpinnings of the Christmas story. Now, we could do that with the birth of Christ and the incarnation, but I want you to know Christmas is not just some cultural thing that we participate in, but Christmas is a celebration of a biblical event that actually took place, and it shook the tectonic plates of everything spiritual, and nothing will ever be the same, because God stepped down out of heaven and robed himself in flesh and gave himself to us as the Christ child. The baby that Mary held in her arms, he was the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He was Emmanuel, which being interpreted means God with us. That changes everything. When God comes to be with you, everything changes. Praise God. Light as revelation is a major theme throughout the word, and it's a major theme throughout the story of Christmas. Light comes, and it is biblical revelation, and it is direction, something you can navigate by. Luke 2, verse 8. "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid," and so would we be. People that meet angels in the Bible fall down like dead people. And you think, "Oh, I could handle that," but you wouldn't. You'd pass out. "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. The glory of the Lord shone round about them." Light came with this message, and light came with the tearing or the opening of the portal from that world to this world. This is a world of darkness. That is a world of light. When they open up the door, open up the portal, light just rushes in. When you come, and I'll just take a moment to give you an advertisement for prayer, but when you open up the portal to that other world in prayer, you open up the portal to light. When you open up the portal to that other world in worship and in praise, you open up, you let light flood in. And if you want light in your house, get prayer and praise in your house. If you want light in your life, get prayer and praise going in your life. If you want light in your family, get prayer and praise moving in your family. The glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring to you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. The Gentiles are coming. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now even go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to you. Better, when God turns on the lights, you better go and see what he's illuminating. God doesn't turn on the lights just to have light on. God turns on the light to illuminate so that you can be directed. Let's go see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And so as the story opens and as the story unfolds, every time angels appear and God appears and the word comes forth, there is invariably light. Zechariah chapter 3, there are these candlesticks that are featured in the vision of the prophet. And he doesn't know what they are. And the angelic messenger says, these are the word of God to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. The candlesticks are the illumination of God. It is the word of God coming to you. When God turns on the lights, he turns them on for a reason. If he turns them on for you, he's got something for you. You're not just a spectator in something, some celestial drama that's happening somewhere else. You're not just a piece of flotsam and jetsam floating around on uncontrolled waters of life. You've got purpose, and you've got reason, and you've got direction. God has a plan for you, and God wants to turn on the lights for you, and God wants to direct you. And when he does, you need to say, we need to go down and see this thing that God has told us about. And then there's the prophetic star in the Christmas story. And there's a bit of a lurch here, because the shepherds show up the night of. The wise men don't show up till 2 years later. But your manger scene has them all collected together, because that's just how we have to do it. And so that's why Herod killed children that were 2 years and younger, because it took them 2 years to get the message, get the understanding, and come and see the baby that was born to be king of Israel. Now, this is that passage, Matthew chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, and they don't say three, but we just say they were three, saying, where is he that was born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. All this prophecy that we've read about the light of God coming, the star of God, a star rising out of Israel and out of Judah and out of Jacob. And they've said, we've seen his star in the east and we're come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes, the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of these shall come a governor that shall rule my people. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. When you found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And the light was illuminating, and the light was directional, and the light was something from another world. And the light, because stars don't come and stand over cities, because you know why, because stars are gigantic and stars burn things up when they're too close. And this is not your normal average everyday star. It comes and stands over the place where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, fell down, worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Light led the wise men to where the Christ child was. Their response was exceeding great joy and worship and gifts. When you find what God has led you to by the manifestation of his light in your life, there is going to be, without a doubt, exceeding great joy. The kingdom of God is peace and joy and righteousness. The apostle says it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Is there anybody here that's just had a wellspring of joy since you've come to the house of God? You can tell a lot about your life experience, about your about the level of joy in your life. The closer you get to the things of God, the more joy you experience. The further you get from the things of God, the more carnal you become. Your joy meter is running on low. But their response tends to indicate more than a scientific interest in this event. We don't know exactly what scripture they used, but they were following light that was left in Babylon by Daniel the prophet. Daniel was there 600 years before the birth of Christ. Daniel was a light bearer. Daniel brought light out of fallen, dark Jerusalem into fallen, dark Babylon. But he didn't need external light. He had it on the inside, and wherever he went, it went with him. And when you hook up with God, as God's plan is for you, then you take those biblical things, those powerful things, those things about spirit and word and light, you carry them with you wherever you go. Not only do they benefit and empower your life, but they bless everybody that you touch. Daniel was a light bearer. When they, I don't know how old these guys were, but they were 500 years plus past Daniel, and I don't know if folks had studied that, and there were margin notes through the hundreds of years from other scholars, but these scholars found a book in an old musty room somewhere in their collegial studies, and they opened up that book, and when they did, light came forth out of that book, because the light doesn't dissipate. Men may die and men may forget God, but the light and the box that God puts the light in, it never goes away. It's always in the earth. It's always full of the promise and full of the power of God. It never changes. If you can find the light of God, it will light up your life. It'll change your mind. It'll change your heart. It'll revolutionize your spirit. When they opened that old book, light flooded into the room. I've thought about it in different ways, like they're the first ones to touch it from Daniel's day. Daniel laid it down and never touched it again. 500 years later, these guys opened this book. Light springs forth in the place. Daniel went into Babylon in the spring of 597 BC. It was the first siege of Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar. It was a progressive destruction of Jerusalem. The light had all but gone out in Jerusalem. The priests were corrupt, and the scribes were corrupt, and the elders of the city were corrupt. But in the time of Daniel, there were still some young men that held on to the things of God. And when Jerusalem was destroyed, and when the temple was torn down and made into rubble, and all the fine beams were burned and everything was destroyed, those young men in chains made their way into Babylon, but they still had the light of God in them. And when a tray was placed before them with the king's meat on it, Daniel and the three said, "We don't eat that stuff. We live like God's word indicates that we should live, and we won't eat the king's meat." They could have said, "The elders have fallen. Our city is gone. Our system has failed us, and we're in a foreign land, and nobody knows where we are, and we can live any way we want to live." But they didn't do that, because it was inside them. It wasn't in the temple, and it wasn't in the priests. It was in the heart of these young men. And that's another discussion for another day. The light had gone out in Jerusalem, but it hadn't gone out in Daniel or in his friends. They were worshiping idols in Jerusalem, and the law of God was forgotten. And God had pronounced judgment on them and on the darkness that was there. And Israel, almost a century earlier, had already gone into captivity in Assyria. Now Babylon had come down to claim Jerusalem and to claim Judah. This is the first scattering that is spoken of by Isaiah, and it's going to last for 70 years. They're going to be out of Jerusalem for 70 years. But in it, Daniel brought light to Babylon. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, we're in Daniel 1:1-4. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And can I just stop for a minute and tell you that it is an abomination when the elders of the house of God get so detached from the things of God that an enemy comes in and begins to steal your young people and your daughters and your sons and all the precious things of God and carries them off into a foreign land. I want you to know you've got a responsibility today to stand in the house of God and make this real in your life and in your home and in this church. Praise God. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, and all the vessels he carried into the house of his God. And he brought the vessels to the treasure house of his God. And the king spake to Asphanaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed and the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in wisdom, cunning and knowledge, understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And Daniel was among them, and his buddies, Mishael and Hananiah and Azariah, they were with them. And the word of God goes on in Daniel chapter 1, verse 17. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill and all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Babylon wanted to teach them something. And Babylon wanted the best of Jerusalem to bring and to indoctrinate, and wanted to teach them the skills and the language of Babylon. But God gave them wisdom and knowledge and understanding. And God gave them visions and dreams. And in just a little bit in the narrative, Babylon's going to come into some hard places, and the king's going to have some questions he can't answer. But there are light bearers in his house, and they are not trained by the Babylonians or the Chaldeans, but they are infused with the word of God. Well, praise God. I want you to get all the education you can get, but what our world needs right now, you won't get at a university. You're going to get it at an altar in prayer. What our world needs right now, you're not going to get it taught man to man. You're going to get it from an infusion of light from God. Somebody clap your hands unto the Lord. Bless his name. I'm not worried about keeping you late today. We don't have church tonight, but I want you to get a hold of the word of God today. Merry Christmas to you, but you need to know what Christmas is about and what God has done.
We could have done this real light and simple this morning and had some Christmas cookies and milk. But I'm just not geared that way. And you aren't either. And in all matter of wisdom and knowledge and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in his realm. This is better than what the world has. This is better than what Hollywood has. My goodness, the North Koreans shut down Hollywood this week. North Koreans can't shut down God. Come on, come on. This is better. Nobody in this house needs to be looking over the fence to see what's going on out there so you can pattern your life after that or go lusting after that. You need to get your head screwed on in the kingdom of God. God has something for you that will put you in the presence of kings, and you'll have the answers to the questions, the ultimate questions of life for our day. Praise God. Daniel chapter 2, verse 47. Then the king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing that thou couldest reveal this secret. He's a God of light, and he pours it out on his people. Then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon. Don't worry about the stuff. Worry about God. And on your way to get God, God will give you all the stuff that you need to get the job done that you need to do. Everybody say, is there a testimony in the house? Is there a witness in the house? When I got my mind on God, when I began to focus on the things of God, and I quit worrying about all that other stuff, God took care of me. God took care of the stuff, and I enjoyed life at a level that I never could have in simply a secular way. Praise God. He made them ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Daniel's gifts were remembered throughout generations. In another generation, probably Nebuchadnezzar's grandson had a problem. He's got a message written on the wall in a hand that he can't understand, and nobody in Babylon can read the writing, but they know it's important because a hand broke through in their party and wrote it on the wall. And then the queen, Daniel 5 and beginning in 10, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came to the banquet house, and the queen spake and said, O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor thy countenance be changed. There is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. Now see, Daniel had been on a shelf for a little while because this is a new regime and they clear out everything and all. But now they're in a tight. And now they need the wisdom of God. And in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom like the wisdom of the gods was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father made master of the magicians and astrologers and Chaldeans and soothsayers, for as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. And he did. He's the one that said, yeah, I can read that. It says tonight your kingdom is weighed in the balance. You are found wanting, and tonight your kingdom's going to be divided between the Medes and the Persians. They were wishing they hadn't even got the interpretation. That night, the Medes and the Persians redirected the flow of the Euphrates River and walked in under that impressive wall that they had built and overthrew mighty Babylon. Daniel's influence carried over into the Persian and Mede era. It pleased, and we're in Daniel 6, verse 1. Are you okay? It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents. Nebuchadnezzar's gone. His son is gone. His grandson is gone. Now we're in the era of the Persians and the Medes, and Daniel is still wielding tremendous power in what was mighty Babylon, and now is the center of the Persian, the emerging Persian empire, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. God will take you where he wants to take you and give you the wherewithal to achieve what he's called you to be. You need to sit up straight and act like somebody in the kingdom of God. God's got plans for you. Praise God. 70 years after Daniel was taken out of his home in Jerusalem, the Jews make their way back to Israel. 600 years after Daniel's captivity, Chaldean astronomers use Daniel's notes and his scripture to identify a starry prophetic sign, and they're going to travel 900 miles on probably camelback. It's going to take them 2 full months to make that trip. They arrived 2 years after Bethlehem, after the birth of the Christ. That's why Herod killed all the kids from 2 years and younger. They were pursuers of light. They traveled 900 miles on a dangerous journey without infrastructure. They had desire. It took planning. It took great expense. They brought expensive gifts. They suffered loss. It cost them something. They probably, if they had a brain in their head, they had some fears about it. But they were wise, and they sought after the light. And wise men still seek after light. John chapter 1 says every man has access to the light. This is the light that shines upon every man that comes into the world. Some pursue it with all their heart. Not everybody wants the light. John chapter 3 verse 17. Here's the condemnation of the world. That light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. You're afraid to change because this is all you know. But you got to stop being what you are and doing what you're doing. God has something better for you. You're hiding in that because it's the house of the familiar. It's all that you know. But I'm telling you, you got to hear it. And there should be a witness in the house today. You need to hear this, that what God is going to take you into is going to be better. This is not an easy thing. It's a dangerous journey. It's a long journey. It's an expensive journey. You're going to leave some things and some people behind. But the light is out before you. You really need to consider this morning changing the course of your life, letting your eyes fall on a star that God has placed in your vision, and begin to navigate by that heavenly biblical light today. It will take you places that are foreign to you. It is scary when you first consider that. A new life, a new culture, new ways of doing business. But it's going to be good because God is good, and everything He wants to do in you is good. Is there an amen in the house? Praise God. It's a choice. If you're walking in darkness right now, it's a choice to do that. If you're walking in light right now, it's a choice. An affinity for sin is an affinity for darkness. You love sin, you love being in the dark, and it's going to be hard to get you to redirect yourself. But God gives men light, and men have a responsibility to keep the light and to make sure that it continues. Praise God. Wise men, Lindsay, come help me. Wise men love light. Wise men seek after light. 1 John chapter 1, beginning in verse 5. This is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. The shepherds receive light, angelic voices, and direction. The wise men receive light from an ancient book. They all followed that light. They gathered to behold. They gathered to worship. They gathered to bring gifts. That same light, it was closed up for 600 years between Daniel and those wise men. It's been in the earth since the time of Christ. 2,000 years, isn't it amazing? But it is as vibrant and as true and as life-altering as it has ever been. I know our world is dark, but listen, the darker it gets, the brighter this thing shines, the better this thing looks, the more powerful the transformation. Praise God. The angel said, "Fear not. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For to you this day in the city of David is born a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." God bless you. Let's stand together. There's light in this house. You say, "Well, I don't know what to do exactly." Well, it's a journey. It's a journey. You got to move from where you are. The first step is to just say, "God, I want it. God, I need it. Lord, I just want you to show me." David said the word of God is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. Shows you just a little at a time. As they're walking through the wilderness of the Exodus, God gives them a great light to lead them through the night. It's all about following after it. He's got it for you here today. You may not know what the end of the journey is going to be, but I'm just going to tell you. You're a wise person to embrace what God has for you today. This altar's open. If you'd like to come and just say, "God, I just want to draw close to you. I want to get out of the dark I'm living in. I want to leave all the dysfunctional things I'm involved in. I just want you to help me." If you want to just come to this altar and say, "God, I need you. I want you to light up my life, my home, my family, my mind. Oh God, I need you. Just show me what the next step is. Somebody needs to repent. Somebody, the next step is you need to go down in the water in Jesus' name. Somebody, the next step is you need to receive the Holy Ghost. Somebody, the next step is you need to bury all those troubles and all that problem down in an altar somewhere. Walk away from it today. Come on, let's gather down in this altar. Let's draw close to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If there's a light bearer down in this altar, go ahead and begin to give God praise and magnify him and bless his name. Hallelujah. 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 We give you praise, oh God. We magnify you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. Glory, 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 glory. Praise God. Knit together with somebody. Lay your hand on them or take somebody's hand. Just draw close together. Go ahead, lift up your voice. Come on, let's press into the presence of God. Hallelujah. Come, let us adore him. Let's come and worship him. Let's come and give him the praise and give him the honor and give him the glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Mighty God, mighty God. Come on, somebody give him the high praise. Give him the glory that he's worthy of. He's been good to you. Turn on the light, oh God, in every home, in every family, oh God. Turn on the lights in our city, oh God. God, mighty God, light up my workplace. Light up my school, God. Light up my family, mighty God. Oh, let's praise him. Let's praise him. We give you praise, oh God. We magnify you, oh God. We lift you up, oh God. We bless your name, oh God. Glory, 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 glory. Praise God. Praise God. I want you to turn to somebody there by you. Just lay your hands on them, and I want you to pray for them. God's blessing and goodness and strength on them. Pray an anointing and a revelation that God would illuminate them. Hallelujah. Jesus' name. Go ahead. Lift up your voice. Call on the name of Jesus. If you got the Holy Ghost, talk in tongues when you pray. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Just lift up your voice. Let's magnify him together. What a good God. Oh, come. Oh, come, let us adore him. Ah, we bless your name, Jesus. We praise your name, Jesus. Praise God. Well, what a great day to be alive in the kingdom of God. Look at us. We've already burned through another perfectly good year. And here we are at Christmas time again. Be in prayer for your church family. They're traveling on the road. And A lot of them are navigating interesting family dynamics. Pray for them. God, give them wisdom and understanding. The Chinese have a curse in which they say, may you live in interesting times. Some of us have interesting family dynamics. But keep the Holy Ghost first and forefront. Be light and witness everywhere you go. And if they're Scrooge or they're the Grinch, just let them have all that by themselves. Don't get sucked up. Don't ride the drama train this Christmas. Just smile and wave at everybody and love everybody and be a bright spot in everybody's life. Be sure to pray for Sister Thomasine's family, that they would be nurtured and blessed and comforted. Now, remember, no midweek service this week. We will meet again here next Sunday morning. We'll have good church. Then next Sunday evening, we'll have communion. We won't have foot washing next Sunday night. We'll do that after the new year. But on a Sunday night, let's just come together, remember the death, the burial, and the resurrection, and we'll have communion together. God bless you. Be sure to greet somebody and bless them. Merry Christmas. Love this church. Love this church family.